Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 4 of the book of Jesus, the familiar story of Abraham called Abram, and it is found on page 9 of your pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse. And by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Our gospel lesson will come from the book of John. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of John's gospel, verses 1 through 17. That is found on page 924 of your pew Bibles. And so let us again listen to God's word for us. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can this be?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who was descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Where were you born? All of us were born at some place. Where were you born? I was born in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. My father was in the Army at the time, and I was born on the military post, and That's where I was born almost 60 years ago. Not that I remember any of that, of course. It was all a mystery to me. In fact, had I had my way, I wouldn't have had any of it. I don't remember it, of course, but I'm sure it was a very traumatic experience. For 9 months, I was in the warm, safe confines of my mother's womb, where I was content and had everything I needed. And then, all of a sudden, through some power and will other than my own, I was pushed out of the darkness and into the light of the world. And I'm sure that many of you have the same experience as well. You were born, came out into the world after spending a period of comforting darkness in someone's womb. The problem for most of us, of course, is that no sooner that we are born is that the world is waiting for us. The world is ready to claim us and to define us and to identify us. It is ready to claim us. We all, of course, again, have our birth stories. And we are all birthed into the categories and the definitions of the world. Some of us are born into relative poverty. Others of us are born into relative wealth. Some of us are born given certain identities, maybe a Presbyterian identity or a Baptist identity or a Jewish identity. Some of us are born into categories of race. Some of us are born into categories of gender. Some of us are born into categories of nationality. Where are you born? Where were you born? We all have our birth stories. But whether we were born in Philadelphia, or whether we were born in Missouri, whether we were born in poverty, whether we were born in wealth, wherever we were born, the fact of the matter is that we were all born into the human race, which means that we are all creatures of the darkness. We've all been ensnared by the forces and powers of sin and death. It is in our genes, our spiritual genes, complement of our first parents, Adam and Eve. I say that this morning not for us to beat ourselves up or to remind ourselves of how bad we are as a human species. But I say that to remind ourselves of how captive we are, to remind ourselves of how much our hearts and our minds and our imaginations have been captured by the world's way of thinking and doing and being. It is a reminder to us that what is wrong with us as human beings is not something that can be remedied by making a few adjustments here or engaging in a few reforms there, but what is wrong with us can only be remedied by being born again. That's what Jesus tells Nicodemus in our gospel lesson this morning. The name Nicodemus means victory of the people. And Nicodemus is a very impressive man, a man of impeccable credentials. He is a scholar. He's a teacher, a leader in the governing council, a member of the household of God's people, an all-around very impressive figure, dignified, distinguished, confident, secure. But despite all of that, he is still a creature of darkness. He comes to Jesus in the dark, which is not just about the time of day that he approaches Jesus, but it's also about the condition of his soul. It's a reminder to all of us that all of the learning and all of our credentials and positions do not necessarily help us to see the ways of God in the world. Sometimes they can even get in the way of us being able to see the ways of God in the world. But even though Nicodemus is a creature of the darkness, he does see Jesus. And he is impressed with Jesus. There's something about Jesus that draws him in. And so he comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. And he flatters Jesus. Rabbi, he says, we know that you are righteous because we have seen your signs and your wonders. And Jesus essentially tells him, don't be impressed by that. Don't be impressed by signs and wonders. Those are the kinds of things that the world looks for. But you, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. The Greek word anathon means, can either mean again or above. And Jesus is using it in a way that means both. He's saying, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to be born from above. Have to be born all over again. But this time you must be born from above. You know, we in the church sometimes fight over different things, fight over phrases and terminology in the Bible. And usually when we hear the phrase born again, certain things come to mind. What comes to mind sometimes is a certain kind of a emotional, religious experience, often propagated by a certain kind of pushy religious personality, often advancing a certain type of religious agenda. Remember years ago when I was in college, there was a couple that was going from campus to campus, Sister Cindy and Brother someone, I can't remember their name, but they would come to the campus and that would be their basic mantra. You got to be born again, they would tell people, students, as they made their way to their classes. You got to be born again. And usually when many of us hear that, we don't want to be associated with the kind of figure that comes, brings to mind. And so we, including many of us good Presbyterians, we're always on guard and suspicious of the phrase born again. But when Jesus uses the phrase, he's not talking about a certain kind of emotional religious experience. He's not pushing a particular kind of religious or doctrinal agenda. When Jesus says to be born again, that you've got to be born again, he's talking about a whole new orientation. He's talking about a whole new way of being transformed, a whole new way of being and seeing in the world. That's what Jesus tells Nicodemus. Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you are born from above, you won't be able to see the kingdom of God. Have you ever been around people who are just not able to see? They're not bad people. They just can't see, even when things are quite obvious. They can't see past their own experiences. They can't see past their own little bubble because they're not conditioned. Their perceptual apparatus is not conditioned to be able to see things past their own world, their own bubble. They can't see the poor. They can't see people who are struggling and suffering. They can't sometimes see the people who are working for them. They can't see people who they often deem to be invisible. They're just not able to see. And yet Jesus says that unless you are born again, you'll not be able to see the kingdom of God, even when it is breaking in all around you. You won't be able to see God's work in action when it is in the midst of you. All the acts of kindness, all the acts of compassion, all the acts of mercy, all the acts of love, you won't be able to see those actions all around you unless you were born again, born from above. Jesus, of course, was God's living, breathing kingdom at work. God's loving, breathing kingdom incarnated. And yet certain people couldn't see it. They couldn't see in the person of Jesus that God was indeed with us. They couldn't see in the actions of Jesus that this was God come near. But Nicodemus could see something in Jesus. And Jesus says, unless you are born again, you won't be able to see the kingdom of God. All of us are here this morning because we have been born again. All of us are here because we have been born from above. We have been born by the Spirit of God. We are people who have a different kind of spirit in our midst, of people who are animated by different values. The Apostle Paul says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are citizens of heaven, citizens from a different place. And the more we are born into the kingdom, the more we will be in conflict with the kingdoms of the world. When I was born, people looked at me and said, you know, that boy looks just like Jimmy Kennard. Jimmy Kennard, of course, was my maternal grandfather, but that's what people said. That boy looks just like Jimmy Kennard. And that's what some people called me when I was growing up, Jimmy Kennard. Because when we are born, we are born into something. We are born into a family. And we look like what it is we are born into. We have those genes, that DNA. And I had the genes and the DNA of Jimmy Kennard. And that's what we look like too when we are born again. We ought to look more like our Heavenly Father. More and more in the image of God, more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because we've been born again, born from above. We are a whole new creation. We are the people who are called to bear God's glory in the world. I was reading some time ago the biography of St. Francis of Assisi. We often think of St. Francis, what we think of is the person who talked to the animals or blessed the animals. But St. Francis of Assisi has quite an interesting story, interesting biography. He was born into relative wealth and security. His father was an accomplished and successful businessman who traded in fine fabrics and fine clothing. And Francis, as a young boy and later as a teenager and a young man, would also follow that same pursuit. He was a very charismatic young man, a man who made friends very easily, a popular young man, a man who liked to party and enjoy a good time. And of course, he loved dressing up. He loved his clothes. He always had the finest, most fashionable clothing. Loved to party. And then one day he was born again. One day he had this burning light deep down inside of him that called him into the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly his whole perceptual apparatus began to change. He became transformed. No longer was he animated by the values of the world, but he became more and more animated by the values that he found in the Bible, and more what he found by following the life of the Lord Jesus himself. All of the fine fabrics that he had, he sold and gave it to the poor. All of the exquisite fashionable clothing, he sold it and gave to others. Not only his own clothes, but even his father's inventory. He sold lots of his father's inventory of fine fabrics and fine clothes, and he took the money and he gave it to the poor, to the anger and consternation of his father, Pietro. His father had him locked up and jailed for a while and then sued him in the public square. And Francis gave his father the last clothing on his back. And he told his father that I no longer belong to you, Pietro di Bernardoni, but I now belong to my heavenly father, because he had been born again. Where have you been born? Hopefully you realize that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that what matters is your heavenly birth. But here's the thing, none of us can rebirth ourselves. None of us can open ourselves up alone to the life from above. That's what I like about what Nicodemus says to Jesus. Jesus, how can these things be? How can I be born again? Don't you know how difficult it is to start over? I'm already in my 60s. I'm already a man well up in age. How in the world can I be born again? And Jesus tells him that it's not up to you. It's not something that you can do, but it's something that is done through the wind. It's through the wind. You got to follow the wind and be open to the wind. Be open to the Spirit of God. Be open to God's Spirit as God's Spirit blows through the midst of this world. Where God's Spirit blows, where it will. A spirit that cannot be contained in the places that we want it to be contained in. God's Spirit of love and God's Spirit of compassion. God's Spirit that is blowing in our own midst, blowing in our own communities, blowing in our own nation, blowing in the midst of this world that God loves dearly. Jesus says you got to be open to the Spirit, to God's Holy Spirit. And it's that Spirit that blows through each and every one of us today. It's that Spirit that enables us to live as God's born again, new creation people. If there's one thing that we need in the world today, it is that our world be born again. If there's one thing that we need in our country today, it is that our country is born again. We have allowed the old birth, the categories of the old birth, to rip us apart, to tear us apart, to tear our country apart, to hold our hearts and our imaginations in slavery. But we need to be born again. What would it look like if we were born again? What would it look like if we turned on the news and instead of seeing stories about how divided we are, what we read and heard was how we were born again. How God's Spirit is overcoming our divisions and reconciling all of the strife that exist among us. What would it look like if we went downtown tomorrow and recognized that we had been born again? What would it look like if we ventured outside of these walls and we realized that our world had been born again, that we were truly born again? That God's Spirit was moving to heal the hearts of those that most desperately need to know and to hear the good news of God's love for them and the good news of God's love for the whole world. You and I, of course, are the born again people. We are the born again community. We are the people who are called to be a blessing to the whole world, and how much our world needs to hear and to see that blessing. If they could just see the blessing that is you and me, the blessing that is God's love and compassion in our midst. As we continue this season of Lent, we pray that God will continue to use us in this very momentous season in the life of our world, to heal us. To heal us not just of the physical ailments that threaten us, but to heal our world, to heal our world of its darkness. And that's what you and I are called to do. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be God's born again people who blesses the world by our very presence. May the Spirit of God continue to empower us to be faithful and obedient servants of the Lord as we follow Jesus on his way to the cross. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have called us to be born in your image. You have called us to be born by your Spirit. You called us to be born into a new kind of people. People who are no longer identified by the categories that the world would give to us, but a people who are identified by the love and mercy and compassion that you exhibited when you walked this earth. We thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Thank you for loving this world, this darkened, often lost world that often sets its face against you. But you love this world. And you love each and every one of us. And you love all of those that we sometimes don't want to love. Because your overriding desire is for the world to be saved and to be made new. For this world to be reborn into a place where your loving presence is all in all. And so we ask, Lord, that in the midst of everything that goes on in our world, that you help us to be bearers of that good news, the good news of your gracious, loving Spirit of love in the midst of our world. And we ask these things in the name, the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.